It's a little bit eerie, everyone's a little quiet, getting ready for this man to get shackled up and swim across the marina.
Shahab Alam is seconds away from jumping into the water, completely restrained at his hands and feet.
This is like some real steel here, man.
Yes, it is. It's customized.
So this is not a magic trick or anything. Like, it's not coming off.
The chain between his handcuffs is only 5 centimeters long, and his custom-made leg shackles force him to walk so slow, it's painful to watch. The day after tomorrow, we're sitting down to talk at length. Today, I'm meeting him for the first time at a beach in Dubai where he's attempting to set a world record I have never even heard of.
I decided today to break the Guinness World Record for the longest swim, wearing an iron handcuffs and leg iron.
Oh my God.
The current record is 10 kilometers, and I'm trying to push as much as possible after this.
Please check the locks. Here, one, two locked.
A few minutes later, he's in the water. There's about 20 people on this beach with me, and although there are one or two of them that are cheering, for the most part, we're all dead silent.
It's just an amazing sight. It looks exactly like a dolphin going in and out of the water.
For a second, I wonder what they're all thinking, because when I watch Shahab disappear into that water, swimming in that odd way, looking more animal than human, the question that's resonating in my mind, that's ringing in my ears, is why the hell is he doing this? I'm Michael Motamedi, and you're listening to No Fixed Address, a show about ordinary people from all corners of the world doing extraordinary things. 2 years ago, I quit my job as a marketing executive and decided to travel the world with my wife and my baby daughter. We sold our home, our cars, packed a bunch of clothes into a small suitcase, and now live in a new country every single month. And something I've come to love about living on the road is the people I meet. So I decided to start a podcast. That way you could meet them too. That means I'm here right now in Dubai at the beach watching Shahab put everything on the line for this record. And next month, I'll be somewhere else taking you along with me. That was pretty good, no?
I love that intro.
Wow.
I like that you said one small suitcase when really you took up a big suitcase and I had to share the suitcase with our baby.
If you can't tell by now between the banter between the two of us, that's my wife, Vanessa, and she is the producer of this show, the producer of my life, the one who keeps me in check, and she'll keep me in check on this podcast as well, too.
You better believe it. I don't know that I've ever heard of a podcast that records on the road like we do. With microphones on a beach in a farm.
We were in a farm last. We just didn't record a podcast.
Fish market. How many times have we taken video in a fish market?
That's true. So yeah, I mean, to give you a little bit of some insight here, guys. You heard in the intro that, you know, we sold everything and we decided to travel the world full time. Big credit of that. It's got to go to my wife because I have a little bit more anxiety than her, and she does in everyday life. Would you agree?
Totally. But I always imagine my life kind of. One country here, another one there. So I'm so glad we were doing it together.
And mine was never that. Mine was the white picket fence.
Yeah, what
happened? Let's keep up with the Joneses. So the way this went down, guys, for a little context, right around the time my daughter was born, my dad was retiring. And I was seeing the juxtaposition of these two places in life. And on one end, there was this baby, wide-eyed, looking at the world, excited to experience everything that ever came at her. And on the other end, my dad was retiring. And guess what? He was depressed that he was retiring. And that scared the shit out of me. It really, really did. So I talked to my wife and she's like, man, I've been waiting for you to say this. I mean, something like that, right? I've been waiting for you to say this all your life.
Definitely did not say that.
Well, but, without the accent.
Yeah, maybe without a Spanish accent.
Okay. But yeah, and so we picked it up and we just left, knowing this kind of like epiphany, this existential crisis, whatever you want to call it. I was like, oh my God, from the age of 0 to 70, to work your whole life all just to be retired and then be depressed about being retired, something is wrong here. We're not cogs in the wheel. Who knows what's going to happen in 2-3 years when she has to go to school? Who knows if we'll still be on the road? Who knows we'll be on the road next year? We don't know. All we know is that we're living our life right now. And today, we get to meet the coolest dude in the world in Dubai. His name is Shahab Alam. How freaking scary was that? You were there on the beach with me.
It was so freaky because, yeah, he went in and then these waves appeared out of nowhere.
Oh, those waves were like a symbol of, I don't even know what that was. Like the most calm water. If you haven't been in Dubai water, it's already super calm. This was even more calm. And then all of a sudden, he puts his foot into the water and these waves come out of nowhere. No boat in sight, no wind, no nothing.
What was that about?
It's a freaking sea creature just saying, hey, welcome, bro. I got you.
The ocean was welcoming in it.
I think it was, for real.
Never seen anybody swim like that.
I mean, he looked like a dolphin. You know, he likes to call himself Aquaman.
No, Merman.
Merman, but he's more like a dolphin man.
You have to say dolphin. You can't just
say Mandolf. Mandolf works.
Gandalf?
No, Mandolf.
Okay.
Right?
Not bad.
I like that. But yeah, it was scary. I mean, I was scared. I can't imagine his mom.
His mom? You know what? His mom looked so excited. But there are a lot of people out there that looked fearful. Didn't you feel stressed? Like people were stressed on that beach.
Yeah, I was stressed.
And then when he came out of the water, was insane.
He was like, wee, 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 woo, 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 wee, wee. So that was pretty similar.
I mean, I recorded it so we could just play the perfect. Real
cue to that.
The police was even bringing their side. Everybody was amazed. It was incredible
it
moment.
It was awesome, yeah.
I'm so excited to have Shahab here today. He's an accomplished athlete, a long-distance swimmer, with 2 official Guinness World Records under his belt, soon to be 3 with this most recent attempt. Guinness just has to certify, and that takes a couple months. He moved to Dubai in 2018, and 2 years later, he set out to be the first person in history to swim the Dubai Water Canal. That was his first world record. In 2022, he ordered some handcuffs off Amazon, slapped them on his wrist, and swam 11.6 kilometers. He's dedicated, he's tenacious, even perfecting his own swimming technique to get the job done, which is honestly really quite a sight. When he's not breaking world records, he's actually teaching. He's a swimming instructor, a free diving instructor, and an accomplished diver. Basically, an all-around swimming machine.
And just so you know, this episode is sponsored by GuideGeek, a travel guide AI. If you're booking a trip, check out GuideGeek, a new way to plan travel. It's an AI chatbot built on OpenAI. But what's cool is that it's actually curated by human travel experts at Matador Network, the world's largest independent travel publisher. I've been using it for a while now, mostly on WhatsApp, but you can use it on Instagram Messenger too. I use it for absolutely everything because I travel full time. But what I love about it is knowing what neighborhoods to stay in when I go to a new country. That's so helpful. Head to GuideGeek.com to try GuideGeek for free and start planning your next trip. That's GUIDEGEEK.com to start planning your next trip with your newest AI travel assistant. Welcome, Shahab. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. So take us back to that moment. Your hands are cuffed, your feet are shackled, not even a toe has entered the water. You're about to get in. What are you feeling? Like, what's going on in your mind?
It's like starting a battle. I'm more inspired by the old wars and this time of swords and kings and glory and all of that stuff. So I kind of prepare myself with a music that is related to that ages, related to legendary stories is about to happen. I'm writing my movie. I'm writing. I'm a part of an existing movie that it is happening right now, and I need to just act as the audience or the watchers in the cinema is just watching me and waiting for what is going to happen.
And so the movie that you're in and you're directing is a war movie.
No. It's not a war movie. It's inspired by the old wars, but...
I'm joking. Like, so you're saying that when you're getting ready to kind of get into the water and accomplish this big goal, you're thinking about it like a war almost. It's like, you know, or empires and inspiration in that
exactly,
way, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
And then as you're doing it, you're directing your own movie. This movie is you accomplishing this goal, I assume.
Exactly. It's a story that has to be completed.
And you definitely want it to have a happy ending.
I hope so every time.
Mandatory happy ending.
I hope so every time.
Okay, so now you're shackled. Now you're walking into the water. You got water up to your chest. I saw it with my own eyes. I thought you were praying for a second, but I think you were stretching. But you're looking out into the ocean and... what is happening now? Now you're just prepared. You're in the middle of the movie has started. Like, is that what you're telling yourself?
Yeah, there is a lot of adrenaline at that moment. It is a war scene, an army just about to get, mixed with the other army. And now two leaders has to make a motivational speech to make the soldiers ready, powerful, courage, all of this. But I am the soldier, I am the leader, and I am the army, and I am everything that I need to do.
It's interesting you say that because I have never heard someone make a metaphor like that of life other than my late grandfather, who I respect so much. May he rest in peace. But growing up, he always had this one very important lesson that he would tell us all. And he said, listen, life is a play. Right? The difference is in this play, you're not only the director, you're the producer, you're the crew.
That's true.
The decisions that you make in your life will decide how this play unfolds.
That's true.
And so you're using those exact metaphors in these specific situations to ensure that you know what the ending of this play or this movie is going to be like, and you want to ensure you're going to actually accomplish that.
Mm.
That's fascinating.
It's a written scenario like before whatever is going to happen. Hopefully all the, you know, all the things just goes well as planned, and you make the scenario exactly as you wish.
So I guess that leads to my next question. Like, what motivates you?
This was a question that I've been searching for the answer for all my life. Like, when I was young, I was forced to be in this sport. Like as any kid, he's just refusing anything except just he wants to play. This was me, my brother, just we want to play. We don't want to wake up early. We don't want to go to training. So here's a part of my mom of taking care of. I have the vision that I want both of you to achieve. And you cannot see it now, you will see it later. She forced us to do this. We hated her sometimes. just small kids with small brains. We have no idea about what we are doing.
So I guess a lot of that goes on to your mother for why you do what you do.
Before, it was all the beginning by her until I discovered how I think and, you know, the passion of what I need to be one day. When I got my first medal, I loved being appreciated. I loved being seen. I loved being under the spotlights. Plus, somehow my childhood was all about these movies of Alexander the Great, Achilles, Troy. So it was all about this man that they had only one vision in their life, which is glory. I need my name to be remembered when we die.
You know, I'm going to get back to that in a second, but I don't know if you saw that TikTok trend that went around for a little bit where the girlfriends or the wives would ask their husband, I'm going to ask you now, okay? I got to answer honestly. How many times a month do you think about the Roman Empire?
The Roman Empire. I have a lot of empires that are my favorites, like the Roman, the Ottoman, the Greek.
So how many times a month do you think about empires?
Empires is all my time. It's like
so all day you're thinking about empires.
I feel like I live in this age. I feel that hilarious. I belong there. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to get back to what you were saying about earlier about that glory, about that achievement, about that recognition. So there's a guy, he's a psychologist, his name is McClellans, and he has this theory that basically states that all of us, no matter where we come from, have three main motivators in our lives: achievement, affiliation, and power, right? So this idea of achieving, being the best, affiliation, being wanted, you know, being famous, being whatever it may be, and power, this idea of, you know, coaching and being the one in charge. Now, we all have all three of them, right? But there's one dominant one that is always within each of us. It might be different, and it's based on the culture or the upbringing that we have. So if I were to ask you, out of those three, achievement, affiliation, or power, which one do you think your dominant one is? Like,
if we say glory, it belongs to which one of them, do you think?
I think it might be all of them.
I love that answer.
In my life, it's interesting because it's very fluid. Like, I find that my motivations or motivators change continuously, depending on what stage of life I'm in. It seems like yours is just a constant. I got this one thing on my mind. I'm going to be the best of the best, and I'm going to go down in history. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's talk about your childhood a little bit too, because I think that's super interesting. You said your mom was motivating you like crazy. You and your brother or brothers?
Yeah, my brother, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You must have started, it seems like what you said, you swimming at such a young age.
Yeah, 3 years old, I started.
3 years old. And, you know, but it's interesting because I think a lot of people started swimming when they're 3 years old, but a lot of people are not getting handcuffed, shackled, and swimming across Dubai, the marina. Okay. So, I mean, there's this assumption in life that, like, for athletes at your caliber, you have to be a little sick, you know, to put yourself through that hardship. Do you find that? Do you find yourself, like, a little bit, like, you know, I like to kind of punish myself a little bit, or maybe I have a little trauma that's going on in my life that I'm dealing with by putting myself through this hardship? Or is this just like positivity?
It is not an easy life, because when you search about being the best at something, or one of the best at something, it is just makes you think day and night about what you need to achieve. And it is never enough. After each challenge, what's next? Like, let's say it starts from the audience, from the people, because if the people loves or interested of what we are doing, we will find everyone supporting us, because the people are interesting in this, like the football. All the sponsors are getting their brands there.
Just so I understand what you're saying it's much harder doing an individual sport like yourself, because you don't have the popularity of larger sports like football.
Yeah,
this is all self-motivation.
Yeah, convincing even the sponsors to come and join me for my events is not always easy. And this actually, it was a big challenge for me, and it gets me so angry to the point that I insisted to just get myself to that much popularity with my sport, because I cannot just go play football because everyone loves it. No, I'm a swimmer, and I need to prove how much this is hard, how much this is good, how much this is amazing, even for the people who's not interested. And here came ideas of doing something different.
Wow. So you're putting a lot on the line to get your name out there, really, right? I mean, this is what people do when they believe in something that this much, right? Mm-hmm. But this gives you happiness too, right? I mean, I want to make sure about that, right? I mean, this gives you happiness, this gives you joy, or is it, you're just trying to accomplish something right now? Is that the only thing on your mind? You don't care about your happiness right now? Is that, because there are people like that as well too.
So sometimes I feel like, why my life is so hard like this? Why I am that person? Why I have to keep just searching to put my name in the history? So when I die, my name will be remembered. Mm-hmm. So I will be here forever, because I was born like this. I was born like, now you came to this world. You lived, you die. Doesn't matter how rich you become. Doesn't matter whatever you did here. What could be last here?
Legacy.
I found my reason to be here, and it took me a lot to find it. But now I'm satisfied enough that yes, Shehab, you are here. You were born to be a swimmer, and you will need to do
the most achievements in this that happened in the history. It makes me tired, but later when I start to grow up more, I started to enjoy the journey, to enjoy that. Look, it's a movie, it's happening. Even, you know, all of this preparation, even if you didn't find sponsors for this event, then let's do it and have more materials. Go search for the next one for new sponsors. And every year is getting bigger. Every year people are interested in getting on board with me and see the story.
It seems like you got your movie's an underdog story. You know, someone who has a lot of challenges, who maybe possibly things are working against them, but that's motivating you to kind of be the biggest and the baddest. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of, that I do remember you saying when we spoke earlier that you have how many world records right now?
So I, 2008, I was the first place world champion in the monofinish swimming, which is one, my both legs are tied together and I have to swim like a mermaid with a big fin. So this is my style. So I had the world record, the first place world champion in 6 kilometers. So I'm a long distance swimmer since I was young. And then I stopped swimming at all because I found that it's not giving me enough income and I needed to start working, supporting myself, my family, and all of that. And I didn't find any work that suits me except water activities. So I started scuba diving, and then I become an instructor of teaching this activity. I spent time, I spent more than 9,000 dives doing scuba diving and free diving. And when it took me like a long tour until I reached Dubai here. And when I reached here, I decided to, this is the best place to settle. And if this is the best place to settle, maybe I can start coming back again to who I am, because I couldn't live just as someone doing a job every day and go to sleep and just collecting money and survive. This was the most hard 10 years for me.
Yeah, I love that. I live by that every single day. I mean, I honestly feel like everybody should try to put everything on the line to do what they love every day.
That's true.
I mean, and people say, well, it's hard. It's this. I mean, yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's very hard. We're not one saying it's easy, but it's a choice that you have to make inside in yourself, right? Am I just going to go and I'm going to work 9 to 5, make my hourly wage, go month to month, and then wait till I die? I'm not doing that. I'd rather die early, you know?
Yeah.
How many world records are you going for?
I'm planning to have another 10 years of achieving a new record every year.
What? One world record every year for the next 10 years?
Yes, yes.
Oh my God.
It has to be something harder.
Oh, so you don't even know what it's going to be this year?
No, not yet.
Or next year, I should say.
Not yet.
Oh my God!
It has to call me. It has to call me.
I love that. You said you have to relax and repair. What does that look like? I think you told me last night you had a whole chicken.
Yes.
To your head, to yourself.
Yeah.
An entire chicken.
Yes.
Two legs, two breasts, two wings.
Yeah.
The entire thing.
All the body of the chicken.
And you're not a big guy. I mean, you're definitely in shape, but man, that chick—that's a lot of food.
I burn a lot. Yeah, I burn a lot.
You burn a lot. Yeah, because you're a swimmer. I want to go back to your mother because I think it's very interesting, the relationship between a mother and a son. It's fascinating to me. You know, for me, I value my relationship with my mother so much, and I think it's impactful, no matter if it's negative or positive, right? My mother taught me empathy and, you know, understanding, and that I could do anything in the world, right? This belief that my mother had in me was like anything I've ever seen, right? Or still haven't seen. And that's what motivates me to be able to be who I am today, right? Do you find that with your mom as well too? I mean, you know, I know you had a little bit of a rough start with her because she was trying to push you as hard as you can. But now looking back on it, what do you feel?
I'm a father now. My daughter is 3 years old. So when you become a father, you understand that you have an unlimited love, and it is there without any reason for this person to be the best only. And doesn't matter how many people you'll meet, how many people they will love you. Nobody will loves you as your mom and your dad. But mom has a different type of love. You know, mom sacrifices a lot. Dads can die for their children's, but
it's a different kind of sacrifice,
because she carried this person, you know, for 9 months. She kind of felt it. It's a part of her. It's a part of her. It's the father's blood, but it's a part of the mother.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I personally think that, you know, empathy, dealing with your emotions, being self-aware, these are all attributes that I feel like women have a lot more than men have, right? It's like superpowers, honestly, you know, where I kind of fly off the handle or have a temper or whatever it may be. It was always my mother, and now my wife, who's just like calm and analytical and looking at, I mean, wait, 4 or 5 steps ahead of me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I have to get angry first to get to the point where they already are. And so those life lessons are extremely important for me in my life. I remember even growing up, my mother was like, what do you want to be? Like, I want to be the president. A Persian kid in America, you know, born in America. Oh, you're going to be the first Persian president of America, I promise you. I mean, just hearing that over and over again as a child made me believe that I can achieve anything I want to achieve, right? Now, don't get me wrong, when I turned 15 years old and I realized that there's no way there's going to be a Persian president of America, it was already gone. It was okay. It was done. I already built my confidence. You know, Vanessa talks about it all the time. Like, I walk in a room and I own the room, right? I don't care who's in that room. I don't care if you're a billionaire or you're poor. We're going to get along, but this is also my room. I'm going to walk. I'm going to have the confidence to be able to do that. I get a lot of that from my mom, you know?
Did your mom's love kind of do that for you, build your confidence? Because you were saying the connection between a mother and son is really special.
Yes, a lot. So I had my childhood that it built my personality. It was a mix of what my parents is telling me, and a mix of the cinema and the movies. So movies and cinema, it was always...
American movies?
Yeah, we had nothing else, right?
Yeah. Not to interrupt, but I always find it interesting because, you know, she was born in Colombia as well. I was born in America, so it took me to meet people from other countries to realize the impact of American cinema on the world.
Yeah.
Right? Or American even sports on the world. So you're saying it was your mom, your dad, and cinema.
Yeah. So cinema is a big part. Like, cinema, it always take my all structure of education. Because I started to travel maybe when I was 13. I started to get my first competition outside of Egypt. But before this, you don't travel outside of Egypt. You are not open on the world. We didn't have that much technology and internet and access to everything. So we had only the TV, channel 1, channel 2. Cinema, it was a big impact. Like, again, it's this historical movie. I was always inspired by the documentaries about people.
I had a business partner in my last business, respected him so much, and the way that he thought was very interesting to me. One of the things he speaks very similar to you, where he kind of knows the first chapter, he knows the last chapter, and now he's filling in between, right? He knows where he wants to end up, that legacy that he wants to build for himself and for his family. As long as he knows that last chapter, now it's time to just make sure he's filling in those other chapters to get there.
It's very important to know about the end of the story. You need to have a vision of this. If you don't know, if you don't have a vision about where you're going, you are going to keep trying a lot of stuff because you have no direction, and then you're going to waste a lot of time. And until you decide where you want to go, and then here you have a clear road. The problem that most of people, they think that once they know about their goals, the road should be easy.
That's not true.
Oh, no. It's just the beginning of a big journey. You need to go ahead for what you want to achieve and enjoy it. Enjoy it with the bad things, with the good things. Enjoy disappointment. Enjoy being tired. Enjoying pain. Yeah, enjoying everything. Yeah,
you know, one of the toughest lessons I think everybody needs to learn is this idea that even if you try your hardest, you can fail. And that's okay. Let's move on. Use it as a motivation. Go accomplish the next one. Go accomplish the next one. You know, as long as you're not going two steps back, one step forward, you're just always continuously moving forward, that's a motivation in itself, right? Talk to me about people who've told you no. Talk to me about people who've said, you can't do this. What is that like?
When it comes to just normal stuff that it is achieved by other people before, it is still okay. It's still acceptable by the minds of the people around. Even my mom at one day, when I become the Egyptian champion and then I become the world champion, and then she told me that's amazing. I told her, no, I want to be in the history. Why? Because I remember when I got my first place world champion, I went to search my name on Google. I found nothing. Not my name, not my picture, nothing about me. I said, well, my mission is not going to the right direction.
If it's been done before, people don't really say anything. It's like, okay, he can do it. But if it's something that's never been done before, people stop believing. Because, you know, I think a lot of that comes from their own self-doubt. I think a lot of people don't even believe in themselves. So they're trying to take everyone else down with them. You know, sometimes I don't even tell people ideas because I'm like, I don't even want to hear the negativity. As soon as I start hearing the negativity, it's like, oh, it's noise, you know?
Yeah, I believe most people are systemized. You know,
yes.
Yeah, they are.
It's a matrix, man.
In the matrix. Yeah, exactly. In the matrix. So they cannot, you cannot share with everyone this is what I've learned, you know. Some people will not accept what you are saying. Not because you are bad people, just they cannot get it.
They can't even wrap their head around it. Yeah, they're living in this box, and I'm trying to live. I don't want a box.
Exactly. You know? So, like, imagine you are telling a colleague at work, you know what? I'm gonna go and reduce my monthly salary because I wanna train because I want my name to be in the history. Say, well, that's nice.
Say, you're crazy. Say, okay, sure, buddy, whatever. Okay, we all want to be in the history books, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of times for me, that motivates me more than anything. Somebody tells me I can't do something. It's like, well, guess what, buddy? I'm going to do it now just because you told me I can't do it, you know? Does that happen for you as well, too?
Yeah, but you in this case, you will be the only friend of yourself.
What do you mean? Tell me more.
So now you don't accept the opinion of other people that it reduce your motivation. So who's going to be your friend now? It's yourself.
That's fine with me.
So you have to be a good friend with yourself. I had this saying before from someone that if you don't see yourself good enough, nobody will see you good. So this is how you treat the yourself friend, someone that it is positive to your thoughts,
loves you unconditionally, positive motivational thoughts,
exactly,
encouragement on a daily basis. You know, sometimes it's okay to fake it too. You can wake up and you can be depressed. Well, fake your happiness. Let's get through it together, man. That's how I talk to myself. You know, life is good. We're gonna be okay. Let's get up. We're happy. And finally, I become happy again, you know? Yeah. Or like for you, for example, like I can imagine you might wake up and not want to train, or you might not be motivated one day. You might be discouraged of a lot of things, whether it might be lack of brand deals or whatever the amount of things that are out there that are going through your mind that are holding you back. But you tell yourself, no. I am motivated. Let's go. You know?
That's true. But do you think that this is always you can do it? you can always motivate yourself positively like this, because sometimes you get, you know, some moments that you cannot even do this, right? So you have also to be prepared about that. If you cannot do this, what you are going to do?
So you're saying if you can't motivate yourself or convince yourself of something, that you have to have the tools necessary to be able to deal with those hardships.
Yeah, just accept it. Just accept it. Just be okay.
And don't be so hard on yourself, right? I think that's a big aspect for me, at least, you know. This just jumps into what I was thinking about when you were out there in the water, right? I'm like, what sort of training meant? I mean, I can understand the physical training, I think. I mean, I haven't been in the gym in 25 years. So, I mean, but I can understand it. Like, you're going to go, you're going to work out, you're going to get your endurance. But I think you just answered what sort of mental training you go through before, so you can be prepared for that water, right? These are the thoughts that are going through your head, correct?
Yes, that's true. That's true. But at one time that I cannot resist, keep resisting this thoughts anymore. So I just keep distracting myself. I start to sing or start to remember a movie, and I start to keep watching it in my mind.
While you're swimming?
While I'm swimming.
Wow.
Sometimes I start to search for the shells on the bottom,
yeah,
or search for a fish.
Counting or whatever.
Counting, whatever. Just speaking about, you know, the universe and what is happening, and you know, remember old memories, distracting.
So that's so fascinating, because it seems like a lot of the lessons or the training that you do for yourself before you go into the water and beat a record are similar to the same lessons that you use in your everyday life. It's similar to myself, because my work and my life have always been, you know, intertwined like this. They've never been, oh, I'm going to go from this hour to this hour into this office, and then when I come back out of that office, I'm a different person. It's always been like this. So the lessons that I learn during work, I use in my life. And the lessons that I learn in my life, I use in my work. I feel the same thing from you.
That's true. That's true. It's you can apply exactly what is happening on a daily life.
What's the fear that's going on when you're out there?
That my body fails me. This is the only fear. Yeah. So for me, my mind, I have this ability. If you lose a leg, you can continue with the other leg. If you lose a hand, you can continue with the other hand. But if you lose,
I mean,
all of
you
your
can
hands,
not me, but yeah, you can. I'm stopping and watching Netflix if I lose an arm, okay?
So this is my only fear. Please stay with me as much as possible to make this done and finish. So here, training, it has also a big part.
I mean, when I saw you out there, I was like, this guy looks like a dolphin. I don't know what's going on. What was the feeling like? Like, what happened? You achieved your goal, you're done, and you're walking out of that boat. What's going through your mind at that time?
So it's all for this moment. It is all for that. So I keep reminding myself every day in the training, hey, you remember that day of the last event? You remember how glorious was this day? You remember?
Every day of training, you remind yourself of the last time you accomplished the record or the goal or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's what pushes you. That's what motivates you every day.
This is my birthday every year. This is my birthday, and this is my wedding day, and this is my everything. This is where I live that, hey, this is who I am. Who I am is a very hard question. Ask anyone who you are. You'll say his name. Who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's a very deep question as well. Nobody can answer it, except a very lucky people. Sometimes it just happens by accident. And sometimes you need to search for it.
But do you find that you're more than your job? I mean, I guess in your scenario, it's all taxing. It's like everything. It takes everything out of you to get into that water and swim those distances. So it's kind of like you are what you do, in a sense. But I think there's a lot of people who are like accountants And they don't want to say I'm an accountant. I'm more than that.
Exactly. I am an athlete. So my job has to be just doing competition and breaking record because I have the ability to do this.
And I noticed when you had finished, there were so many people there chanting and people that were very, very close to you. I think that maybe that also does help, having a nice crew around you to motivate you in tough times or when you want to give up. Or, I mean, all those people have regular, they have jobs, right? They were there for you, right?
That's true. That's true. This cannot be happening without any of them. Or all of them are volunteering for this event. And I remember that I was calling everyone and telling him that your job is the most important rule in this competition. So everyone take it very seriously. And they started to be even stressed about, but why I'm the most important one? Because I'll be recording the evidence to get this record. So we could be all there. I could swim this 6 hours. And at the end, we don't get the record because a mistake happened.
But this is like, these are like your friends and your family, right?
Well, all my friends and my family.
Yeah, that's a tight crew. Like you could see the tears in their eyes when we were leaving and when you were coming and the happiness and the joy. And there was like sirens coming out and people were screaming. It was absolutely insane. I mean, that must have been an emotional thing for you.
This it gives me more happiness even than the record itself.
Do you ever get scared of maybe possibly disappointing them? Is that coming to your mind?
Yeah, well, I will die for them in that day. I will die for them before I disappoint them.
So as we near the end, this has been such a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much. What do you want people to hear your story? What do you want them to take from it?
They can take whatever they want to take. I used to say that every movie I'm watching, there is a wisdom in this movie. There is a quote. There is something I have to get from this movie. And you never know how my story can help people. How it can get them inspired, or.
But you said this is your movie. Somebody watches it. What's your message to them?
I've been always trying to be me, and it was very hard for me. When I lost myself in a period of time, I didn't keep swimming. I didn't keep doing any of what I'm doing. I was not achieving anything except just being good at my work. This took 10 years of my life. I tried to search for myself in many other careers, even because now if you're not a swimmer, what you could be? I believe if I would say something to people, just don't quit. Don't quit what you're doing.
It's so simple, but so true, right? Just keep going. I mean, you talk about your legacy a lot, but I think there's more than that, honestly. I mean, I don't know you very well. We've just gotten to know each other over the last little bit. I don't know. I feel like you find most joy and peace in the water, you know? And that means something, too. Regardless of all the glory that you want to achieve and the legacy that you want to achieve, your whole life has been bringing you back to water. That says something. I mean, that's also extremely powerful in itself, right? If you felt like you lost yourself in a cubicle working 9 to 5 in an office somewhere for 10 years, you felt depressed, you didn't even know who you were anymore, and then you found yourself again swimming, and the joy and the you glow, man. You're glowing, right? In 2 days after a world record, you're glowing. So we like to ask everybody the same 4 questions. I'm going to ask you one question at a time. Answer it. Don't even think. I need to just an answer, quick, whatever it is that comes to your mind.
Okay.
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 If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Dubai.
Okay. What makes you happiest in all of life?
Achievements.
Okay. What are you most scared of? Got to be quick.
Failure.
Okay. And what is your biggest regret?
No regrets at all.
Zero.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't work with regrets.
There you go. Not one regret. And like stone face killer on the on the response, not even a hesitation of doubt. So guys, if he's lying, he's a great poker player.
No, not at all. Regrets are horrible. It's best. Yeah. You cannot change.
Wait, I've been wondering this the whole time and I have to know, what's your favorite movie?
Oh yeah, a good one. Yeah.
Alexander's great. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. One of the best characters in the history for me as well. Yeah.
Who was that? Was that Russell Crowe?
No, it was Brad Pitt.
It was Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Oh, Colin Farrell. Yes. All right, let's watch it tonight. We'll watch it tonight.
Yeah. What we just watched recently? You know that movie? Is it Naiad? Naiad.
Have you seen it on Netflix?
No.
First person who swam from Florida to Cuba.
No, Cuba to Florida.
The woman, right?
Yeah.
60 years old.
Trailer. Yeah.
60. Yeah, true story.
This amazing one.
But you're right there in that group of people that have done things that other people have never done, like kind of the impossible. Do you think there's something about you guys, like a common denominator between people that are able to do this?
This is something in our blood. You born with this, I believe, that it pulls you to have your life in the hell of just thinking about that you have nothing to do except doing achievements and being the best, and your name has to be remembered forever. Why am I not normal? Sometimes I had it, like, why? Why you just don't just go and do your job, you know? Like have an easy life, man. But I have no option.
I think that's a perfect place to end. Don't be normal.
Don't.
Thank you, brother.
Most welcome.
Wow. What an interesting guy.
Yeah, and I love that. Don't be normal. For all us weirdos, those are words of wisdom.
Agreed. And I am like, I consider myself a pretty big weirdo, but man, this guy takes the cake in the best way possible.
He is just unstoppable.
Not only is he unstoppable, but his demeanor and his presence is just so calm, calculated, and like ready for anything. He's the type of guy that, like, if you're in a bar fight, nobody messes with, you know? And then all of a sudden, you know, like with Jean-Claude Van Damme, all of a sudden gets up and everyone's done.
He knows, like, jiu-jitsu and kung fu put together.
He probably does, to be honest. And just the perseverance that he's had to get these world records. And most importantly, his goal is to have a new world record every year for the next 10 years. I mean, just saying that out loud gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, what?
Yeah, like it's something nobody has ever done, which is crazy.
What kind of discipline is that?
Crazy discipline. If you guys want to find out what he's doing next, you can follow him on Instagram or TikTok. His handle is AquamanDXB.
That discipline, I can't get over that discipline, I swear to God. I'm like, I wish I had discipline like that, but then I'm also thinking, like, man, bacon, cookies, milk, Netflix, like, how are you going to give that up?
Milk and cookies at the end of the night.
How are you going to give it up?
I agree with you.
And I mean, as you guys heard, you know, one of his biggest struggles is getting sponsorships. He never told me to say this, but I'm going to because I just love the dude. If you're a cool brand out there and want to sponsor a super interesting individual who's about to blow up and get world record after world record over the next 10 years, just shoot him a DM. I'm sure he would love to hear from you.
And if you're in Dubai and want to take swimming classes, you can call him up too. He does free diving classes, so you can learn from a merman how to...
Did he sponsor this episode?
I know, right? Oh, but he offered.
We just love the guy. We love the guy.
He said if I wanted to go freediving, he'd teach me how.
If you could pick anyone in the world you want to, who's going to teach you how to freedive, who is it?
Right now, it's him. For me, it's Shahab.
It's Shahab or, I don't know, maybe Cuba Gooding Jr.?
What? Why Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Didn't he play in that movie where he was like diving and he was a sea diver? Oh, no, but he wasn't freediving.
He wasn't freediving.
He was in that old
school.
What
a 90s reference.
Cuba, shout out. You want to come on the podcast? We're waiting.
We publish an episode every other Thursday with extraordinary people from extraordinary places all over the world.
No fixed address. The world's most extraordinary people.
Thanks for listening.
Love ya. Bye.